All right, so welcome to Who Be the Heroes. This is a podcast we're starting for our Walsh Honors class, Greek Literature. And today we are analyzing the heroes from the Iliad and the Odyssey. So we're going to go around and introduce everybody. I guess just say your name. If you'd like to say your major, maybe any experience you have with literature, that's fine too.
Awesome. Well, I'll start. My name is Sila, and I'm a finance major. And this is my first college class about just literature in general. I did take some Greek lit in high school, but that's it.
Hey, I'm Austin. I'm a finance major. And this is my also first Greek lit class, but I have had podcasting experience before. So that's a plus.
I'm Elizabeth. I'm a biology pre-PT major, and I have limited experience in both podcasting and literature.
I'm Audrey. I'm a psychology major, and I also don't really have much experience in any literature or podcasting.
And then I'm Madeline Wiseburn. My major is marketing with minors in corporate communications and history. My literature experience is limited, and I love listening to podcasts, but I've never been on one, so that's kind of exciting. But yeah, so we're just kind of coming together, sharing our ideas. We thought this would be a fun way to finish off Greek literature. We haven't had the chance to really talk about the text class because our class has been happening asynchronously, and that makes a literature class a lot more difficult. So this is going to be fun, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so let's kick it off. How would we define heroes? And maybe we start off with, like, how would you personally have defined hero before you got in this class?
I guess in my own personal experience, I would define a hero as someone who, like, does selfless acts to help other people.
I agree with Audrey as well. I think that is how heroes are perceived as in today's world. And I think this class kind of gave us just a whole different view about what a hero can be defined as.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you look at the people we idolize in society and really look at as true heroes, even fantasy-wise with the superheroes like Batman and Superman and all them. They're the ones who are really putting their lives on the line and helping others to be the best that they can. But I agree with Sila as well. The Iliad really flipped that idea of a hero on its head. So it's interesting reading this different perspective as opposed to what we know really well today.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Even if we look at heroes from, like, rather than looking at, like, a superhero, if we look at them as, say, a medical worker, especially in the time of COVID, they're going out of their way to do something selfless for someone else. And I think that's a really common theme that we see when we look at heroes today.
Yeah, for me personally, when I think of, like, hero, I automatically think of, like, the Marvel superhero. Like,
right.
Everything having, like, a supernatural power of some sort. And we see a little bit of that in the Iliad and the Odyssey, but the whole, like, premise of me starting this conversation about heroes is that I think the heroes that Homer initially presented to us in Achilles and Odysseus, I just do not see them as heroes. I don't think they exemplify what I would have defined as a hero. I don't see them as selfless. They're not always courageous. And the problem I have with them is not the fact that they have flaws, but that they don't do anything to overcome those imperfections.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I find it interesting that when we were all trying to find a hero, not one of us mentioned Achilles or Odysseus. I mean, there's so many other people that I feel like Homer kind of sweeps under the rug in his songs that he doesn't really mention. But the ones that he did tend to emphasize where, I mean, Achilles just whined a lot, it seemed like. And Odysseus has been through a lot, but he's just been kind of guided by the gods the entire time. I feel like he hasn't really done much on his own to deserve a hero's status.
Right. Flaws are definitely something major that we see in a lot of Greek literature, and especially when we're looking at heroes, it's something that's really emphasized. And I think it's to remind us that they're mortal, but it's almost as if they're like too mortal and it's not someone that you can look up to or try to base your life on. Like, they're not someone you would want to like take as a role model.
That's what, for a source, like I was researching, looking at this, it's by a person named Miller and it's called An Epic Hero, and it was made in 2003. Like, a quote I have directly from that is, it says, for like epic heroes in Greek tragedies, it shows the hero as a problem rather than a model.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Because, okay, so if that's the case, then probably most of our characters that we ended up picking are not actually heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Because right.
We picked characters who are not problems within themselves.
Right. Because
that's, like, in our current context of what hero means right now, that would not be how we define it.
I think it can be hard to define a hero too, because it depends on like how you're looking at the situation. Like, if we want to look at it from in the Iliad, Trojans versus Greeks, the Trojans aren't going to see Achilles as the hero of their story. They're going to see Hector. So it really can change based on who is looking at it and what characteristics you think are important to what a hero can be. So it's really up for a lot of interpretation there too.
Yeah. And
definitely.
I think that's really interesting because like nowadays, when we say Captain America, there's no debate that he would be considered a hero or like a superhero, right?
Right.
He's not on a side. Where like in this story, there are defined sides. And I find it interesting that Homer sort of like humbles everybody and puts them all on the same playing field. Like, everyone is uniquely human.
Mm-hmm.
And they have flaws and they're not decidedly amazing.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like this goes back to the idea of mythos that was talked about back in even lesson one and two, where the bard Homer gets the last say in what really happens and what people really know. And he obviously, in the Iliad at least, favored the Achaeans over the Trojans.
Yeah.
So obviously he's going to make them sound more like heroes. And by extension, what his definition of a hero or who he's trying to portray in that sense may be different from what it was when the Trojan War was actually happening, or what it was versus the other people of his time. Because we only have his perspective right now. But
right.
I mean, going back the years, going forward the years, looking at all around him at that time, it may very well have been completely different what people thought.
Right.
I read this article by, I'm going to butcher her name, Nicole Falkenhayer from the University of Freiburg. And it was about kind of the definition of a hero in today's society and what like the contemporary view of a hero is. And I found that heroes now are used to define a moral norm, which we don't really see when we look at like ancient Greek. There's no moral norm for them to follow because of that kind of side, choosing sides, not having a clear cut, like, you are clearly a hero, you are clearly the enemy. There's not that antagonistic stance in Greek literature.
Right.
I mean, when we look at today's heroes, like we mentioned before, Captain America, they almost have this sense of like perfection about them, that they, every single aspect of their life, they, you know, they're doing good, they're not making any bad decisions. And but in these epics, we see like Odysseus, he lies throughout the Odyssey. You know, he makes these decisions that may not seem the best, but we are still, you know, wondering if he should be defined as a hero because of these qualities about him.
Yeah, so the definition I found, I went to the American Dictionary, so I accessed this today, and it had a four-part definition for hero. It says, a person who is noted for their feats of courage or nobility of purpose, especially one who has risked or sacrificed their life, a person who is noted for a special achievement in a particular field, so in battle or in war, the principal character in a novel, poem, or dramatic presentation, and then in a legend, an individual, often a man of divine ancestry, who is endowed with great courage and strength, celebrated for bold exploits, favored by the gods. And I think the last part of that definition is what I find most fascinating. It's almost arguing that in order to be a hero, you have to have some superpower. And I think that's not necessarily true. Like, I would say that I find some people to be heroic, even though they don't have, like, some special power.
Well, I would agree with that. I think it's interesting, though, that that's something that media outlets, whether it's TV, movies, or even a video game, having that superhuman ability, like a superpower, is something that continues to stay. Like, we see it still today, unlike some of the other stuff that we've talked about with heroics.
I find it interesting that you mentioned they had to be descended from a god, because I've picked up on the Iliad. A lot of people talk about where they're from and their family status, and that seems to be a very big point of contention between people, really. And looking at the people we've chosen to talk about, not all of them came from gods or have that descendants that we know of, at least. So it's kind of interesting seeing what they defined as a hero back then versus what we do, which is pretty much what we've been talking about the entire time. But just seeing official dictionary definition and us not even knowing it, but kind of going with it and kind of not, puts an entire new light on just our interpretation of a hero.
I think that's right on. And the ancestry thing, I find it super fascinating. Like, the characters are all connected, and, like, gods are connected to the people on Earth, and we see Achilles ask his mom Thetis to go up and use her favor with Zeus, and it's just, like weak family politics that kind of govern the whole epic, and it just makes everything 10 times more complicated for the characters to get anything accomplished.
So my source that I found was actually by this person named Michael Clark, whose entire article was comparing the similes that Homer uses about beasts and lions and everything. But that he had some insights that could also be applied to heroes. I mean, one of the things that he mentioned was that for them, a hero was likened to a beast or a lion, really. They were destructive, they're manly, they're dominating, they go in and they take out whatever they can ruthlessly. I mean, that's what they were thought of back then. Personally, I think it feels like it goes to the idea of Kleos and the glory that you're trying to gain. Back then, to gain that glory, you had to be ruthless, you had to go and win glory for your town, because it was more of a survival of the fittest type of mindset. Today, in our society, we value harmony and equality. So less of a survival of the fittest mindset. So the ones who gain the glory, who gain the Kleos today, are the ones who go out and help other people and really bring that harmony to the world. So just this complete two different sides of looking at ruthlessness versus helping others, I think is what the base of defining a hero is versus our two time periods.
I find that super interesting. And I think it brings up a really important question. Are heroes meant to be role models?
I feel like in, like, epics and in, like, Greek mythology and stuff, they're not really role models. Every single time, I was honestly, like, disappointed in their actions. But I feel like as society's grown, like, today we do view heroes as role models.
Yeah, I agree with you, Audrey. And I like that you brought up the point about being almost disappointed by their actions sometimes, because today we do have this idea that heroes need to be perfect because of the media that we receive today. And one of my sources, his name is Gregory Nagy. He's from Harvard, and he said that in ancient Greek traditions, heroes were humans. But they were endowed with superhuman abilities and descended from the immortal gods themselves. Well, if they were endowed with these superhuman abilities, then shouldn't they, you know, like, make the right decision, and maybe we wouldn't be so disappointed by them?
I think that's a really good question. When I personally think about God, I think infallible. And I think Homer shows us that the Greek gods are not infallible, that they are distinctly human. And whether or not you choose them as a role model, then they aren't without fault. And I think they all really struggle in seeing their own faults, which is why I don't like them as much.
I would definitely agree with you on that. I mean, even if it looks like they think that they're infallible. If you look at Zeus and the way he acts and the way he like takes command over everything, he thinks that he's always doing what's right. But then, like, I don't remember what book it was, but in the Iliad, when Zeus wanted to end the fighting, Hera stood up against him. And you could tell, like, he wasn't used to that. So I feel like they think that their ideas are always best, and it's a lot harder for them to listen to each other, and they don't make the best decisions all the time. So I would definitely agree with you on that.
I think the gods think that they are the heroes.
I agree with you.
I agree.
I mean, I think we can see this, like, with Athena helping Odysseus out. You know, she's always, like, right there by his side throughout almost the entire Odyssey, that she's there ready to help him when he's struggling a little bit.
Why do you think the gods feel like they're heroes? Like, why do you think they feel the need to intervene in the mortal lives?
I think it's probably because they're gods. Like, that's what they feel like. They're so high and mighty above everyone else that they're able to interfere in the mortals and use them almost as pawns in their own arguments. Because, I mean, the whole Trojan War began because of Hera, Aphrodite, and Athena fighting. So I think that they feel that they're able to use the mortals as pawns because they're gods. They're these worship beings. They don't see themselves as a mortal.
So another thing that my source kind of brought up, which is going back to this immortality and greater than life idea, is that they kind of ceased being a hero when they overstepped their bounds. My source he takes this in a different way, like I said, comparing it to similes. But from what I gathered, it's that there were multiple heroes that overstepped their bounds. Like Patrocles, for example, he could have easily went out, fought, and came back. Hector could have went out, fought, came back to the walls. But both of them ended up overstepping their bounds. Patrocles pushed too far, and Hector did the same. And that ultimately led to their demise. So them trying to kind of vie with the gods and gain their godly complex and try to be more than they really are ended up being their ultimate downfall in trying to be a hero. So that rush for Kleos, that trying to gain it, was their ultimate downfall and what led to their deaths.
I think every character sort of has that downfall, though, right? Like, if we look at Achilles, he literally sat out of an entire war because he didn't get a war prize that was being, that shouldn't have been a war prize in the first place. Like, I feel like they all have that sort of fatal flaw where they get in their heads and they just can't. They're blinded by, like, their own abilities and glory and whatever else.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. To kind of counter with the Achilles thing, because I'm focusing on Agamemnon, he literally let his best warrior go because he was too prideful to accept that he messed up. And he let him sit out for such a long time and cause so many deaths because he didn't want to admit that he was wrong and in the wrong in a situation. It's a pretty big flaw.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Like, an example I can think of, I think it was in book 15, when all the gods were just fighting over, like, what to do with the humans after, like, Zeus fell asleep and Poseidon, like, fought and everything, where Poseidon tried to, like, fight Apollo over it, and Apollo wouldn't even, like, stand against him because he didn't want to fight over such, like, frivolous things, if that makes sense. Like, just, you know, mere humans kind of thing. Like, he obviously just has such, like, a god complex and a superiority complex that he, like, didn't even want anything to do with what was going on. And I feel like that's just one of many examples of how, like, they feel like they're so much better than the people that, like, whose lives they're manipulating.
Right. And I feel like that also plays into their personalities, as they are immortal, but they're also mortal. Like, they have these tendencies to fight with each other, to be willing to do whatever it takes to come out on top, which is something that a lot of humans feel. It's a very big flaw that humans have. So I think that also comes into play with, they're immortal, but they definitely have mortal characteristics that Homer has put on them.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like, too, with epic heroes and stuff, I guess kind of what you guys were saying, like, they're always destined almost to fail at some point. Like, even though Achilles, like, leading up to the end of Iliad, he was still, like, alive and, like, wow, he, like, won, he killed Hector, whatever. Like, he still ends up dying anyway. Like, and it was, you know, obviously, I feel like everyone knows the story of Achilles, so it was very, like, anticlimactic, too. Like, no one really dies in, like, a great, like, you know, like, passionate thing. It's right. All just sort of, like, a sudden end to everything. And that's just something that I've read this before. I don't remember. Maybe it's in, like, the discussion post or something. But just how all of them, like, know their fate already. Like, when they decide to fight, they already know that they're going to die young and that they're not really going to have, like, much else to live for other than, you know, whatever war they're in.
Yeah, it's called their Moira. Their Moira is already determined.
And with the whole war thing, I remember in one of the discussion posts, one of the terms we could define, I think it was the second discussion post, was Erede, which is like their virtue. And I think war is a very big virtue that we see in Greek mythology. I mean, at this point in the Trojan War, when he went through and enlisted all of these people coming from all of these different areas to fight, it's because they wanted this eternal glory. War was their virtue, and that's how they got fame and glory.
Right. I mean, and we see different characters leaving their families to go fight in this war because they want, they desire this glory so much that they're willing to sacrifice, you know, being away from their family for glory.
Yeah. And I feel like everyone was trying to go out in that blaze of glory that was mentioned, but no one, like you said, really achieved it. I mean, you see when Achilles is fighting Scamander, he even laments that he's afraid that he'll die an embarrassing death in a river, but he ends up just getting shot in the heel instead. So I feel like everyone's trying to attain this, but no one really actually ends up with it.
I would agree with that.
Definitely. I mean, Agamemnon's death is because his wife cheated on him, and then his wife and her mister, you know, plotted his death and killed him. I mean, it's not a very glorious end for someone who was fighting in the war and survived and came home. He doesn't get to have this big glorious death, no matter how good of a leader he was. He just gets murdered.
I'm a history nut, so when I was studying the World War I and World War II, I came across this source. I can't remember what it was, but along the lines, it said that every person or generation has to fight their own war. That's why we keep fighting wars, right? That's why we keep having or repeating history. Every generation feels like they need to experience war or overcome some big obstacle in some way. And in doing that, we just lose sight of the bigger picture. Like, it's like we can't learn from our past mistakes because we feel like we need to feel it ourselves. And I feel like heroes here, like, they all make the same mistakes and they all have these same fatal flaws, and it just, they don't learn.
Yeah, you'd think at some point we would realize that this is kind of it's a flaw in ourselves, just in general. We want to be known, we want to be remembered. But because of that, we are causing history to repeat over and over and over again.
Yeah. Okay, I have an interesting question for you. So, do you think heroes have sidekicks?
I think that could be a yes or a no question. Yes, because, I mean, Achilles basically thinks of him as a sidekick. But Patroclus also has this big moment in war where he is the main character. He's wearing Achilles' armor. He is fighting. He is the main character in that scene. But Achilles obviously sees him as, like, kind of his sidekick, his pal.
Yeah.
So I think in the hero's perspective, they may think that they have, like, a sidekick, kind of like a second-hand, first mate kind of a deal. But that person may not see themselves as that when they go on to do something.
I think a lot of our characters would be considered a sidekick to somebody. Or a sidekick at some point in the epic cycle.
Yeah, especially because of the emphasis on specific characters.
Well, and I think it's interesting. Some characters, you can kind of see, like, a change in them. Like, at one point in, like, the Iliad, you can see that Odysseus would probably be considered a hero because of his idea of the Trojan horse that helped win the war. But then when we go and look at the Odyssey, he needs so much help throughout his adventure of getting home. So how, you know, you take him from one story to the next, and would he be considered a hero in the Odyssey? I mean, I don't know. I think we'll just have to see, you know, what we ended up deciding, but yeah.
So another thing that just made me think of is if a hero is defined by their own self motives or if it's what they're fighting for. For example, I mean, you look at Diomedes or Agamemnon, and they had these great Aristeas during their battle, and they can be considered heroes potentially. I think they both would be considered heroes. But they're fighting over a stolen wife. I mean, all this was over Helen. I mean,
yeah.
Yes, that's something to fight for, but is it really worth a 10 years worth of Trojan War? I mean, does that lessen their hero-ness at all, or is it still just kind of their own self-motivation and their own deeds in and of themselves that cause them to become heroes?
I think this is part of why I picked Patroclus as my character, because I really liked his motivations for what he did. He was motivated by his love for Achilles rather than the glory of fighting the Trojans. And in that sense, I feel like that makes him more of a hero, right? Like, he's not seeking this out for fame or status. He's doing this because of his friend.
Yeah, out of all of the, kind of the people that we've talked about, the people that we've focused on, he's definitely, I would say, the least selfish in his motives to enter the war and to do what he's doing. Like, comparing him to Menelaus, he's doing it to get his wife back. But so many of the people going with him, you know, his army and everyone else joining him, they're doing it for the glory, for the fame, for the fact that they're going to be known as, like, the people who fought the Trojans, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why most of these people are going to war, like we talked about already. So Patroclus definitely has the least selfish reason to kind of go out and do what he did during the course of the Iliad.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Do you guys have any more questions about heroes? Did we come to any sort of conclusion about, like, heroes are this or they're not that?
I feel like through reading Odyssey and Iliad, like, my definition of hero has broadened because I couldn't put, like, the characters into, like, my own personal definition of what I've thought of as a hero. So I just feel like, I don't know, it's definitely different now after reading everything versus before.
I just think even the reading and then the talking about in the podcast, it really makes you, like you just said, question what a hero is. Like, can we consider these people heroes? Because we can't put it with our contemporary modern definition of what a hero is. Because as we discussed, a hero is someone who does something selflessly, who's doing it for others. But most of the people we talked about have very selfish motives for why they're going about and doing this.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. It's all culturally contingent here, really. If we look at it from our point of view, there's no heroes. If we look at it from Homer's, every single one we talk about can be a hero. So I think it just really comes down to what lens we're looking at this through.
Oh, that was pure Goldston.
That was.
The beauty of the lenses of history.
Yep.
All right, any last words, folks?
That's it for me.
I think I'm good.
All right. So that wraps up our first episode of Who Be the Heroes. When we come back for our next episodes, we'll each be going over our individual characters on why we think they're the hero and what makes them the hero. And then we'll come back at the end and sort of have a last episode wrapping up our final thoughts on this and what we took away from this and how Homer's heroes sort of shape our view of hero now today. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all soon.